Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in on this Thursday. Week 10 in the NFL begins tonight. We will preview Vegas, Denver, coming up in 20 minutes later this hour. We'll go over our survivor plays. Kelly in Vegas with us today on Thursday. Her time and day's been moving around. She's with us today, 10 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have our college football plays that we like this week. We'll find out where the room is at. 10 toes down on this Thursday. Sam, I want to go over a lot of the injury updates. There were plenty of them throughout the National Football League. Don't want to go too crazy, but there were some that popped up that I wasn't quite expecting. Want to go over that. There's some quarterbacks that are certainly in play. We'll have to say, not only is it strange doing a show with what we're dealing with our work relationship, but it is very strange doing a show when you can't watch a lot of sports. I thought it was going to come back by now, and we're still here. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this game. No, you're not, Joe. Oh, I'm going to watch this game, which is miles from my house. Nope, you can't. You don't have access to that. It's not COVID, because that was literally the worst. Doing a sports show without any sports, that was a lot of fun. But this is pretty strange, man. It is very difficult to do your job. I mean, you could. There are probably workarounds, but after trying five ways and failing, I'm like, I've had enough. And I assume a lot of our audience has had enough. We're talking about like 10 million subscribers for YouTube TV. But I found myself in that predicament again last night. I'm like, oh, I'd like to watch this. I'd like to watch that. No. All right. I'm quickly moving on.
Jeff Schwartz and I had money on Toledo last night. Game started at 7 o'clock Eastern. So we go out for pizza at 6:15, give or take. We eat fast. We move fast. And I said, do you want to go watch the game? Watch the first half. And he said, yeah, I don't have anything to do. My work's done. I said, well, I have things to do, but I'd like to go watch the game because life is too short. So we stop in the first three bars in New York that we can find. And the Knicks are playing at 7:30. So the first three bars, they're not turning the Knick game off. Even though the Knick game isn't even on until 7:30, it's the pregame show. The bartenders are not changing the TVs.
No.
So we finally end up at the Hilton Hotel Bar. And one of their bartenders already had the Toledo game on, probably because he had money on it, if we're being honest. Because who else would turn the Toledo game on a Wednesday night in New York when the Knicks were about to play? We had to sit in a hotel lobby bar because my hotel didn't have the cable package working. And I couldn't log in on YouTube TV because that's not working. So that's where I'm at. And I do feel for the people that last week had to tell their wives or girlfriends, all right, I'll see you in 8 hours, college football Saturday. I'm going to the bar. That excuse works once a month, twice a month.
Yeah.
But for a football consumer, a sports bettor, a real gambler, that's what your excuse is going to have to be again on Saturday if you're at home without YouTube TV, or if you have ESPN Plus. That's not working for a lot of this stuff. It's a joke. It's a joke, man.
What channels is the college football playoff on? I'm not asking you knowing the answer, but it is ESPN, right? Okay.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I mean, what this is telling me with a quick search is primarily on ESPN. However, some games for 25-26 season will be shown on other networks such as ABC. Okay, you're out too. TNT and True TV. Okay, so it's going to be all over the place. But primarily, I'm looking at these quarters are going to all be on ESPN. Semis, ESPN. Championship, ESPN. So some of the first round games will be elsewhere, and that's it. They better get this crap figured out. I know everybody's saying the same thing, but like now I'm getting pissed. Isn't everybody getting pissed? I don't have time in my day at this time during the football season to change providers, but I'm going to down the road. I don't want to do it while I still have Sunday Ticket for what, you know, 8-9 more weeks or whatever it is, but I might be forced to. And then guess what? I'm paying for two streaming services throughout the rest of the football season. Hooray. Unbelievable. So annoying.
As we're trying to save money, you and I.
Yeah.
Got to hoard that money, son.
Exactly. So who knows how much. Don't even get me started. There's a lot. There's a lot of directions that we could go, and some people will be, okay, stop talking, Joe. Please stop talking. I wish you would just gloss over this once. No. Not going to do that. All right. Injuries. A lot of injury news. I know it's Wednesday. We preach you don't want to get too crazy, but let's talk about the quarterbacks. We did get some news. Stroud, he's not going to play. That was expected after the concussion. So now you got Davis Mills as your backup quarterback. He's going to be your starter this week for Houston. We got new official news out of Arizona. We were thinking they were going Brissett. You know, Gannon was flip-flopping like a fish. And then he finally is like, oh, yeah, I guess we'll go Brissett. Kyler goes on IR. Kyler goes on IR 9 days before the new Call of Duty comes out, which I find to be hilarious. Okay, so Kyler's on IR. What else do we have with the quarterbacks? Not too much else. I mean, if you want to listen to the Purdy lie week after week, he's limited again. I've been hearing that Brock Purdy's limited for about a month, which normally on a Wednesday would make you think, okay, he's got a good chance to play. But every week, oh, yeah, he's out. Oh, yeah, he's out. We're going back to Mac Jones. I don't know what the hell's going on with the San Francisco quarterback situation. But the guys we expected to be out, of course, you got to include Jaden Daniels in there as well. A number of starters down week number 10.
Not really a surprise in terms of what the betting market perceived, because the line in Houston-Jacksonville did not change. So they always thought that C.J. Stroud was going to miss. In fact, I had a buddy who sent me his fantasy lineup yesterday, and it said C.J. Stroud Q, the red Q, but the projected points were zero. So if ESPN Fantasy doesn't think you're going to play, Vegas knows you're not playing. You know, like Vegas clearly has a better idea before the fantasy heads of the world figure it out. So that line did not move. Seattle has been bet to 7 offshore at a couple places, but I think that was sort of the thought process there that it was going to be Brissett. I think Brissett gives them a better chance to win anyway, so I'm not exactly stunned by that. The one report that was the worst, I thought, I mean, there were some pretty sketchy injury reports yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you catch the report out of Buffalo? How bad that one is?
You're not talking about James Cook, because I saw that part.
There are 6 guys that did not participate in practice yesterday that are very important, okay? Joey Bosa, James Cook, A.J. Epinesa, Teron Johnson, Daquan Jones, Shaq Thompson. Also limited at practice, Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard.
Any of them just say vet rest? That's what I'm hoping.
Well, maybe. It was a whole lot of this. Groin, ankle, wrist, ankle, concussion, groin, calf, hamstring.
Oh, that would be a no, because a lot of times say vet rest. Those are legit injuries, no. And it's coming off their all-in game, the Kansas City game, right?
So this is not a spot I'd be back in Buffalo, and I love Buffalo. I'm big on Buffalo. Luckily, I didn't burn my Bills future tickets 2 weeks ago like some were telling me to do. That number did come down, though. I mean, there are some 9s now. You know, this was on the way to 10, and it still might get back to 10 if the injury report is better today and or tomorrow. But that is not ideal. I mean, you're talking about an emotional letdown after hosting Kansas City, beating Kansas City. The game went down to the wire. It was probably closer than it should have been. Mm-hmm. And now you got to get back up and go on the road where Miami always fights against Buffalo for the most part. And now you got all these guys potentially banged up. Well, they are banged up, potentially not playing. I don't know. We'll learn a little bit more today, and we'll probably have a solution by tomorrow. You know, that Thursday injury report is very important. But again, all of these guys either did not practice or limited. Benford, Bernard, Bosa, Cook, Epenesa, Johnson, Jones, Thompson. Those are mostly important players for the Buffalo Bills.
Miami fought in that Thursday night game in Buffalo. So coming back home, you would think so. Oh, man. We're going to talk about Buffalo and Survivor later this hour. Now I'm really thrown for a loop because you're right. It's a bad spot for the Bills. But you're talking from the cover perspective. We'll have a conversation whether or not Miami could surprise them. We've seen Miami surprise teams like Atlanta just a couple of weeks ago. Some other stuff that stood out, you know, Carolina, Dowdle did not practice, but the Panthers are coming out. They're like, hey, we're just being smart. So that lends you to believe that he's going to be out there. Tampa's interesting. They're coming off the bye. You know, part of my brain was thinking, okay, coming off the bye, you've got these extra weeks. You would think a couple of these guys are going to be returning. I don't know that that's the case. Bucky Irving still not practicing. Godwin still not practicing. He said Irving is running, but no contact yet. It's New England week. It's a big game to us because we think it's going to be a competitive one. But for Tampa Bay, I don't know if it's a big one to them because, you know, it's AFC, NFC, and it's not like it's a divisional matchup. But that's going to be big to see how healthy the Bucs are. I was assuming healthier, or maybe that's just not the case yet.
I have a feeling the Patriots are going to morph into the public dog. Some of the texts I talked to yesterday, some of the guys I texted with, rather, and some of the conversations I had, it's sounding like the sharper guys at these sports books in Vegas are on the Bucs, and it looks like we're going to be potentially to three relatively soon. I mean, some of these offshore books are -2.5, -115, -2.5, -118, Superbook -2.5, -116. So we are slowly climbing. Look ahead, number 1.5. Now we're 2.5 everywhere on the way to three. Now you're going to write some three on New England, which would be sharp because, again, wise guys bet numbers, not teams. But the early push from respected money in that game is on Tampa. And there's a really good chance they get it to three, at which point, again, you're going to see some support for the people that have been waiting to bet New England. They will take three, and maybe this closes 2.5. But so far, in the first few days of this market, a lot of sharp side on Tampa. Off the bye, getting healthier, you mentioned some of the guys, but still, New England has been playing, I don't want to say nobody, but New England's played a lot of trash in the last 5 weeks, and their record is great. They're in first place. They're 7-2. How many of those teams outside of Buffalo are good to great? None.
And they're getting away with playing some sloppy ball, right? Nobody notices because of the wins, but you had May with a couple turnovers this past week. He's taking a ton of sacks. You would think that one of these weeks is going to come back to haunt them a little bit, and this might be the spot. I do agree with that idea of Tampa Bay. We can talk more in depth about that game later today and certainly tomorrow when we break down every game in the National Football League. As far as some other stuff, not too much has really popped up. We'll get some more clarity. Booty, he's a big weapon there for New England. You know that. He did not practice yesterday, so that's worth bringing up. Stevenson, I don't think really matters. Movement. Two games stood out to me, Sam. They were both 3.5-point favorites when we were on the air yesterday. Then in the afternoon, both favorites got some love, and they go from 3.5 to 4.5. Chicago, a 1-point move north, 3.5 to 4.5 against the Giants. And then the LA Rams, divisional matchup, revenge on the mind after what happened earlier this year in Thursday Night Football, also go from 3.5 to 4.5. At San Francisco, what'd you think about those 1-point moves?
I was ecstatic because I didn't bet the Giants yet. I thought about getting in yesterday at 3.5 and thought, let me sleep on it one more night. And now I get 4.5. Yep. So now 21-17, I'm going to win and not lose. 28-24, I'm going to win and not lose. I'm betting the Giants. I had to send in my bets this morning. Bear Bets always wants our bets by Thursday morning so they can build the graphics out. Giants is on there. And I'm like, make sure I get 4.5. Because that's a lot better than 3.5.
Some people might think, oh, you're past the field goal. What's the big difference? Nah, getting the other side of that 4. Sometimes that ends up being the difference. Now, if we were 4.5 to 5.5, whatever. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Around the same time, early afternoon, both games, same point spread. The favorite in both of them goes from 3.5 to 4.5. So that one certainly stood out to me. All right, week number 10 starts tonight. Now, it's a heavy point spread. Maybe you're thinking it's not all that interesting. I don't know. It's a divisional matchup, and there are certainly a lot of things to discuss, and maybe there are some different prop angles going on between the Raiders and the Broncos. We will talk Survivor later on this hour, but keep in mind, this is going to be part of the conversation when we get to Survivor as well. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. You've got Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor chat in 20 minutes. Kelly in Vegas, top of the hour with her top college plays of the weekend. A lot of college today, especially in that 10 a.m. Eastern hour. If you're into that, we'll be covering a whole lot of different games there. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, Sam on X at SB Shoot. I'm there at Joe Ostrowski. Week number 10 kicks off tonight, Thursday night football. Yeah, it's not a great game, but that's why you need to come up with betting angles. We've got the Broncos, a 9-point favorite. Sam, the look ahead on this was 10.5. So it actually comes down a little bit. Broncos had that close win this past week, a low scoring one against Houston, winning in the very end. And then the Raiders lose in overtime, but it was a competitive one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That overtime angle will be coming up a whole bunch in this conversation. All right, 9-42 in the hook. Low total, big point spread. A lot of times that makes people want to take the underdog. I'm not hearing any of that, are you?
Not really. And I thought it was a decent look early in the week to sit here and talk about maybe betting Denver or looking at some Denver team total over potentially. And then you start talking to people and you start seeing the social media and nobody's going to bet the Raiders here, which doesn't make me want to bet the Raiders, but the market has come down. I mean, South Point in Vegas is 8.5 right now. So this divisional game, you're seeing sharper support for the dog. Here's how I think the game goes, though. As somebody who did have the Raiders on Sunday, and I've talked about this a couple times this week, if you've heard it already, I'll make it quick. I had the Raiders +3. They went to overtime. Pete Carroll goes for the win after they scored the touchdown to bring it within 1, and then they went for the win because why not? You might as well. In that game, though, they went to overtime. The Raiders defense was on the field the entire game. I mean, we're talking 42 minutes, which is a lot. And now you got to travel and play on the road against a Denver team that is number one in pass protection, number one in the league, very good on the offensive line. So when you combine the fatigue with the protection, that's not good for Vegas. That said, the money disagrees with that angle. So what's more important, what we've seen or the money that's coming in? Because if you just line these two teams up, Denver's going to win. The question isn't, are they going to win? The question is, by how much? And I was really looking at a lot of the rushing props because I do think the Broncos are going to be playing from in front. And if that's the case, you look at Dobbins, who's got a number BetMGM 70.5. I could bet that over for sure. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, 21.5. He's one to take off. He's one to bust a 20-yard run every once in a while. So those are the first two things I was looking at. Dobbins over, Nix over. And look, Bowers was everywhere last week. Again, I watched more Raiders Jags than probably anybody in the state of Massachusetts. I watched every play. Every time the pocket broke down and every time Geno faced pressure, where's Bowers? Where's Bowers? All he did was look for Bowers. And when you get a guy like that back, it's the blankie. It's the security. It's the warmth. You know he's probably open, and you know he's going to catch the ball. So anything Brock Bowers has my attention. I haven't decided yet. We can talk this out together. But I was looking at Broncos rushing props and Bowers props because I do think the Broncos are ahead and the Raiders have to throw.
Yeah, I'll start with Bowers, of course. That 3-touchdown game makes a lot of sense. His number is 64.5. He is plus 170, Sam, for an anytime touchdown. That is a good number. So why is that the number after a 3-touchdown game? Well, you're playing arguably the best defense, right? However, I started looking at some of these games with the Broncos defense against tight ends. Where do they rank across the league? They're about the middle. They're not great. They're not bad. I think that's good news because you look at a great defense, but they're not great against the tight end position. For example, when they play really good tight ends this past week against Dalton Schultz, what'd they do? 77 yards to Schultz. They gave up Tyler Warren, 87 yards to him earlier on in the season. Not that long ago, a combo of tight ends for the Giants had 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. You can get to this defense through the tight end. And of course, now you don't have Patrick Surtain. So I would not be scared about Bowers props. The plus 170 for an anytime touchdown certainly jumps out to me there. And then the rushing attack for Denver. That makes a lot of sense. Of course, Dobbins, the RB1. Okay, I can see it. But, okay, if we take a little bit of a deeper dive, if you look at Dobbins and how much he's actually on the field, yeah, he's their go-to guy. However, last week, he was on the field for 46% of snaps. Before that, 52%, 49, 50, 53. He's on the field for half the game. So is it a better move to go with someone who's getting a little bit more love lately and you get a much shorter number? Maybe RJ Harvey stood out. He was on the field for 1/3 of the snaps. And then if you look at his props, they are in the 20s. We're at 22.5 rushing yards. So I think either running back would be a nice idea. Better than 2-1 for Harvey to get an anytime touchdown. That makes sense to me. I like what you're thinking about Broncos running backs and then Bowers because where else is Geno going to go without Myers?
And maybe we just get points in this game. I mean, both moves are interesting on the side and the total. I'm trying to figure out which one is more telling, though, because Denver was on the way to 10, and now we're seeing 9 and 8.5, as we mentioned. But in a Denver game, usually you see the totals come down. And a lot of these sports books are reporting way more tickets on the under because it's a Denver game and because Geno stinks. That's how people think. That's the narrative. Yet the total's moving up. Sharper books are 43. There's an offshore 43.5. So I don't know if it's more interesting that money is moving against Denver or that money is moving over the total. Which one do you think is more important? I mean, they're both anti-Denver moves, right? To go against the Broncos and to go over because Denver is a defensive team at its core. So to see the money come on the Raiders and over, there may be something there if we can decipher it the right way.
Yeah, I don't agree with the money coming in on Vegas. Do you?
I don't like it. I don't. I was never going to bet the Raiders. I certainly don't love getting involved on these high spread Thursday games either, in terms of laying a big number. Who's Denver got on deck? Think about it.
Are they looking ahead? Oh, with extra rest, the Chiefs? Yeah.
You know who they got next.
Are they going to save some stuff?
That's part of it. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to understand, if I'm betting the Raiders, what's my angle? Because clearly there are people betting the Raiders. Bowers was awesome, man. And I really don't think there's an answer for him, especially with some of the injuries on the Denver defense. And if you look at his game log last week, I know it's just one game, but clearly Chip Kelly said, get him the ball and get the F out of the way.
He's healthy 13 now.
13 targets. 13 targets. And that's not to say that he's going to have 13. Not going to say he's going to have 13 in this game, but he catches the ball. He's got yak. He catches and turns upfield. You know, it's easy to look at the box score from last week and say, oh, I like Brock Bowers. But rather than look at his touchdown number or his yardage number or his receiving number, I just look at him being the best player on their team, being back in the fold and changing their offense for the better. A lot of that probably helps drive this move.
We've seen a lot of guys get more targets than 13, but they weren't even close to being this productive with more targets. So he's clearly healthy now. He was playing for a few weeks. He wasn't 100% healthy. That was obvious. Now he's healthy. And they decided to feed that beast. All right. Before you started talking about Denver running backs, there's another prop angle that I was thinking about. But yours might be stronger. I just want to throw it your way. They could be playing from out in front, Denver. The market's right. Maybe they're not playing from out in front. Bo Nix props. Bo Nix against bad defenses plays very well. So now he's going against a bad defense at home on a short week. So I was looking at the last six games. I kind of threw out the international game. It was rough for both sides. This is an awful game to watch. I don't know how much you want to take away from those international games. But you look at the bad defenses that Nix has played and the good defenses. Good defenses, I'll still put Philly in there. And last week, I'll put Houston in there. Three touchdowns, one interception in those two games. In the bad group, Dallas, Giants, Bengals, he's played all of them recently. In those three games, 11 total touchdowns, two interceptions. So I'm including the rushing touchdowns as well, but he's had at least two passing touchdowns in each of those games. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns is appealing, and I was surprised to see that the yardage is only 215. Being a bad opponent at home, I thought it was going to be a much higher number than 215. And I think probably, Sam, to your point, that's something else that is telling. Like, why is this yardage number for Nix not higher?
Probably because they're running the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it can be overshot how difficult it is to play on defense for over 40 minutes and then get back up days later and travel to Denver. We are already sucking wind to begin with because of the 5,280 feet of altitude. This is probably a run the ball a ton in the second half. So that's sort of how I see the game. I'm warming to the idea, though, of playing over. And the best number that I can get is 42.5. Multiple books have 42.5. Now, one book has minus 110, one has minus 112, one has minus 118. BetMGM has 43. I'm not betting the 43 over. I'm betting the 42.5 over. And that's probably, if you made me bet this right now, I have not done a single thing with the game yet. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite play, as we talk this through, think about the deficiency with the Raiders defense, the pass protection for the Broncos, the solid running game, and then Geno. I mean, Geno could throw 6 points the other way in a heartbeat, plus the Bowers side of it. 42.5 over is probably my favorite play to this point. And we've got a couple hours to figure it out, but that's sort of where I'm at.
Let's hammer home that point, because you're right. You've mentioned it a couple times, but I don't think we've talked about it enough in depth. Short week after an overtime game. was it 76, 77 plays that Raiders defense was on the field? Here it is. 77 plays they're on the field, giving up 367 yards. But the key, 77 plays and 43 minutes of football action. Evan Abrams has this. Last 20 years, when a team plays in overtime, the opponent does not play in overtime, they cover 33% of the time. 23, 47, and 3 ATS. That is a huge sample. 20 years. 20 years, and they're covering 33% of the time. Smaller sample, but it relates to tonight. Overtime game. Opponent does not play overtime game. Now you play on Thursday. Sample of 27 games. Forget straight up. Let's go ATS, the great equalizer. Those teams that had the overtime game that play on Thursdays, 4-23 ATS. 15%. Wow. Makes you want to bet Denver.
Just feel like there's going to be some points. They're going to give up points for sure. But
yeah,
the Raiders have shown the ability to stay in a lot of these games. Now, you want to talk about the Chiefs game, that's fine. But when you take their best weapon off the field, I mean, playing the Chiefs without Bowers is like, it's like taking on the Lakers without Luka, you know, like to an extent. Like, it's just not the same thing. So I feel like Denver's going to set the tempo early. And then it's on Vegas to match. And from what I saw last week, I mean, that Jacksonville defense is solid. It's not as good as Denver's, but this might be an old street fight. Just up and down the field, man. Could be.
I'm oddly looking forward to this game. And maybe part of it is I can actually watch this game. No complaints about Amazon Prime tonight after what we've been dealing with the last week with ESPN, ABC, Disney, and all that. So, yeah, I mean, plenty of interesting betting angles. We'll give our official plays during Lightning Bets later on in the show. Kelly in Vegas, top of the hour. She'll give her favorite college football looks for the weekend. But coming up next, Survivor. This Broncos game is going to come up. I know it's a Thursday, but we've got to talk about it. The Bills injury report you talked about, those are the two biggest point spreads of the weekend. Maybe they're not locked in. I don't know. We'll talk about that next. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're dealing with a little bit of drama during the break because you know what? This show hasn't had enough drama over the last couple of weeks. Little drama. It's good. Good for the soul. Kept us busy. We are doing Survivor for week number 10 with the week kicking off tonight. Denver going up against Vegas. And that matchup is going to be part of this conversation because it is the second highest point spread of the week. So we start at the very top. Let's first state that week 10 was identified for a while ago as a week that would be very challenging. However, now that we're here, we have more point spreads that are up there than I expected. We have three that are more than a touchdown. We have a couple more just inside of a touchdown, and you could even make a case for a few more. I would not, but I know people will. All right, at the very top, you've got Buffalo favored by 9.5 at Miami. Tonight, Denver -9 hosting Vegas for Thursday night football. Detroit -8 at a backup quarterback in Mariota in Washington, now inside of a touchdown. The Sunday morning Berlin game, Indianapolis, favored by 6.5 against Atlanta. You've got Seattle -6.5 against Arizona. We get to Carolina -5.5 against New Orleans. And then those numbers that moved up yesterday, Chicago and the LA Rams, both favored by 4.5. Sam, let's start with this Buffalo conversation because that's the biggest point spread. If you have them available, people are going to be considering them. I'm considering them a whole lot. Buffalo minus 9.5 at Miami. We start off the show by talking about their lengthy injury report on Wednesday. Are you confident enough to use the Bills here, or would you try to save them week 14 against Cincinnati, week 16 at Cleveland?
I would not use them here, only because I just don't know that it's a good idea to use a team like that off a win like that. Just a personal preference. I'm speaking for myself. If you want to use Buffalo, by all means, go for it, because Miami does stink. If you missed the beginning of the show, though, here's the injury report from Wednesday out of Orchard Park. Joey Bosa did not practice. James Cook did not practice. Defensive end A.J. Epenesa did not practice. Concussion. Teron Johnson, cornerback, did not practice. Defensive tackle Daquan Jones did not practice. Linebacker Shaq Thompson did not practice. Six players that start. And that's not anything for rest. That's wrist, ankle, concussion, groin, calf, hamstring. Then cornerback Christian Benford was limited with a groin. Linebacker Terrell Bernard limited with an ankle. That's eight players that start for Buffalo that are already hurt or playing hurt or going to try to play hurt. That's an easy cross-off for me in Survivor. It's just, it's that simple. And they just beat the Chiefs. Come on.
Yep. I know. Bring up some very solid points. Okay. Let me explain the situation in the Survivor that I care the most about. I'm still alive in a $1 million pool. There are 106 left. Started with a little over 1,000, and we're down to 106. So 10% of the pool is left. I use Denver. I use Detroit. I used Indy. So of the high point spreads, my top option is Buffalo. My second best option is Seattle. Now, Seattle has Tennessee still. On the road where they play better. So I'd prefer to save Seattle. Buffalo, Seattle. I would say my third best option with this one is Carolina. Carolina against New Orleans at home. Oh, boy. What would you do in this scenario? $1 million pool, top option Buffalo, second option Seattle. You know, maybe you consider Seattle, Carolina.
Carolina? No, not me.
Okay.
That ain't happening.
So Buffalo or Seattle?
Cleveland.
Tough, huh?
Giants.
That's a Sammy P move for sure.
I was going to ask you about a different team, which I'll get to in a second, but I saw this from Ben Fox, who does a really, really good job with stats and trends for Yahoo. I don't know if you saw this. I'll just read it. The Carolina Panthers are currently, at the time of tweet, 5.5-point home favorites against the Saints on Sunday. The Panthers haven't won or covered a game as a favorite in over 4 years.
Yeah, I'm not doing that one. You know how many they've lost in a row straight up as a favorite?
According to this tweet, they are 0-10 straight up or ATS 10. Over that time period. Yeah, there you go.
10! 10 in a row? No.
No.
No, you can't. But then that means you're not using Carolina this year. The only other option would be at New Orleans, like in a month from now. Okay.
Which you should play them at home against New Orleans, not in New Orleans.
Right. Which is crazy.
Can you honestly, though, can you live with yourself if you go out on Survivor with Carolina?
No.
Okay.
I can't.
There we go.
So
there we go.
What I'm saying is I'm going to have to take Buffalo with this one. I know you don't like it, but I'm going to be forced into Buffalo.
Well, I like Buffalo more than Carolina.
Of course. Of course. I hate the spot, though. Like, we're spot guys. We look at stuff like that. Coming off that big win, injury report ugly, might be missing 6-7 starters. Like, I hate all that stuff. And it's a divisional matchup on the road. Yeah. All right. Buffalo. If Buffalo loses to Miami, I can go down with a 9.5-point favorite. But can I go down with a team that's lost 10 in a row as a favorite?
No.
I don't think so.
I was going to ask you, how big are your balls this week? What about Tampa?
Ooh. Oh, I didn't even think about them. They didn't even make I wrote down like eight teams, and because the point spread isn't even a field goal. So I'm just, I don't.
Would you rather go down swinging on Tampa at home or Carolina?
Fair, Connor. Certainly fair. Buffalo. That's the answer to your question.
Okay. All right. The entire defense is hurt. Buffalo.
Perfect. Let's see. Let's see what the injury report is over the next 2 days. Let's see. I would think that they want this one too. Divisional matchup. They don't want to lose to Miami. But you're right. Miami did hang with them last time. Man. Okay. Here's what I wrote down as, you know, I don't know what people have available. But this is what I wrote down as the best options. And it's not a big surprise. I would still put Buffalo. Now, if we're sitting here on Friday morning, we get all these, we get word that all these guys are out. Okay, maybe it's going to change a little bit and the point spread will change as well. But I still think Buffalo's the best option. I like Denver. I know what I've said on this show about Thursday night games. And sometimes they screw you. If you jumped in on Baltimore like Paul did last Thursday, you felt really good very early in that game. I think it's a good look. And the overtime angle, all the time on the field, going on the road, there's a lot of reasons to take Denver. Denver's an excellent option. Detroit scares me. They're not scoring like they did early in the year. I know you're facing Mariota, but Detroit isn't playing their best ball. I don't like going international games. If you have Indy available, I don't love it. Plus, Atlanta's involved. You never know what the hell they're going to do. Seattle, I want to save them for the Tennessee game. Plus, they're better on the road than at home. And there's Carolina. I might take them in one of my pools that have a lot of people left in it, but that's probably it. And the reason would be what you just said about that Saints game. The other option is New Orleans at New Orleans. So why wouldn't you just take, if you're going to take them against New Orleans, take them at home where Carolina plays great ball. So I might do one on Carolina, but that's it. That's probably going to be my max. But those are the three teams that I would be looking at, Sam. Buffalo, Denver, and if you're looking to get a little risky, I'd go Carolina.
Denver would be my play if I was still alive, but I'm not because I stink. So if it's not Denver and you want me to take a Sunday game, I am not afraid of the Berlin game. Not at all. I think the Falcons stink. I just think the Colts off a loss. That's a team that's won 7 of 9. The running game is going to be fine. I don't think Daniel Jones turns the ball over 5 times. You would think he'd be a little more conservative in this game, but really it's a Steichen game plan that should just run the ball. And you're going to be able to run the ball on Atlanta and then put Jones in good spots. They were behind the 8 ball, and then Jones had to try and throw him back in the game, and he made it worse. Right? They were just trying to stack checks, and he wanted it all. Like he was going trying to get, you know, 14 points per possession and come back in that game, and it just got away from him. I don't think that happens to that team back-to-back weeks because they're too well coached.
If you're not going to use Indy here, I don't know where you're going to use them. They play San Francisco later in the year, but I don't know. Is San Francisco bad? I'm still trying to figure out what the hell they are. I assume Brock Purdy will be healthy at that point, but not quite sure. Okay, so, yeah, that's a good option, too. I get it. Circa Survivor, 1,716. Dude, there's almost 2,000 still alive. I know the, quote, value of it is $10,000 for each entry, but there's still almost 2,000 entries alive. Grandissimo, they're down to 11, which means each entry is worth over $600,000. 6 have Buffalo, 4 have Denver in Grandissimo. Do you think either of those loses? Okay, let's throw Detroit in there too. Buffalo, Denver, Detroit. Those are the three that are above a touchdown. We had 3 big point spreads last week, remember, that were just about double digits. One of them lost outright. That was Green Bay. Will one of these three lose outright?
Sure. One of them will. Just to be wild. Just to be weird. One of them loses outright. Here are the projections from Survivor Atlas. They've done a good job with this. 29% Denver. 25% Carolina. 21% Buffalo. 17% Seattle. No Indy on that list.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. So nobody's going that road. Okay. That makes sense. One of these weeks, it's going to be mass chaos, not just one game where you get a bunch of games that are shocking results. Joe O, Sammy P. I was wrong about Kelly in Vegas. She'll be joining us 11 a.m. Eastern. More coming up here on BetSweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.